that you learned. The theme, bringing the message of Jesus, that's at the heart of what we want to do as believers. There is one message, and the message is that Jesus is the Savior of the world. He is the Savior, come from the Father, to save us from our sins. In saying that, I want to just to start by reflecting on the reality that when we say that, we are saying Jesus is the greatest person who ever lived. So we would say he is the wisest person. If you needed to ask somebody for advice or for wisdom, you could go to Jesus. He is the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. Come to be with us. And if you thought too, Jesus is great in the sense of power. He is the most powerful person who ever lived. And if you read the stories of Jesus in the Bible, his power displayed. He raised people from the dead. He healed people. He stopped a storm. He did all kinds of powerful things that we can't do, but he could because he is the power of God. And finally, we could go on, but just to say too, he is the one who loves and cares for us the most in all the world. He is the one who even died for us to save us from sin and death. He cares for us so much. So all of that, as we understand that more and more, then we have to say, what a Savior. What a Savior we have. We have that truth, and then what a message we want to bring to others. This is the hope that we have in Jesus, the Lord and Savior of all. How does that work exactly to enter into that more fully and to make that more fully the message that we bring? And I think you studied that too. Part of it is to continue to study and to know more and to learn more about who Jesus is. And that's why I think too, a GEMS program is so important, because you have your lesson, you talk about, you learn about who Jesus is. And so that aspect for all of us to continue to learn and to grow, and to understand more who Jesus is, what he has done, what he continues to do. So that aspect of learning and growing and studying in God's Word is central to receiving and being able to bring this message well and clearly and truthfully. Another thing is when we see our Lord, his care and leading in our lives, when we recognize that he is watching over us every day, that's a tremendous assurance, a tremendous sense of my Lord is with me in times of trouble, in times of illness, in times of joy. This past week I was speaking with someone, a young man, who had lost his job because, of course, in this particular work climate here in Alberta, it is a little concerning, a little upsetting. And so this gentleman, young man, had lost his job in the oil business and trusting in the Lord and working through faithfully. This week, he found a new position, and he sees very clearly part of his witness, the Lord provided for me in this. And just to see that, and to recognize that, and to say, my Lord is with me, is providing, I can trust in him. And that becomes part of our message, our witness. And so I would challenge you as church members today too to think about, to talk about that even at lunch today, where you are seeing the Lord Jesus at work in your life this past week, or even today, because that's a constant living presence of the living Lord that inspires our message. We serve a risen Savior, and He continues to work His will in our lives. I want to, just for the sake of the gems, and for all of us, just to reflect a little more on what exactly this looks like, how this works exactly, to know Jesus, to know His care for us, to know His wisdom and His power. And I talked to the gems. We had Gem Sunday in Lacombe too. And I talked to the gems, and I asked them about this, because I'd heard a story about someone great and famous who has quite a relationship to her fans. She has about 10 million fans. And she's a singer, and her name is Taylor Swift. Do you know Taylor Swift? You do? Holy. She's pretty amazing, isn't she? Yeah. So, you all know about Taylor Swift? Do you listen to some of her songs and you see some of the things, right? Yeah. So she's a friend of yours? Did you talk to her last week? Called her up? Hey, Taylor? No way. It's not like that. But you know her, right? Yeah. She is definitely very well known, and many girls like yourself, yeah, she's just one person that you know, and you feel too. She's great and successful and beautiful, and that's initially thinking about her. Then, have you heard of someone named Kylie Pettis? Do you know Kylie Pettis? You don't. Well, he's a fan of Taylor Swift. And he's just a young fellow. He's just 9 or 10 years old. And he really is a fan of Taylor Swift. What he did, he was in trouble. He was being bullied. And so he wrote her a letter. He emailed her. He said, "Taylor Swift, I'm being bullied. People are being mean to me because of my name. Kylie Pettis. It's a little different name. So people were making fun of him because of his name and because he's really skinny. He's really skinny. So people were making fun of him and they were bullying him. And so he wrote to Taylor Swift and he said, "Taylor Swift, can you help me?" And she actually wrote him back. She wrote him back, and I don't know if you heard about it. It was in the news. And she wrote this to him. She said, "Dear Kylie, don't be ashamed of your differences. Be proud of things like your name. Don't let people judge you or look down on you for how you look." She wrote really nice back to him. She said to him, "You should accept yourself as who you are and be proud of how you look." And then she ended her little note by saying, "If someone hits you or hurts you, call your parents or your teacher or the police." Wow. So that was her answer to him. And he felt really good about that. Wow. Taylor Swift answered him. So all of Taylor Swift's fans were talking about this, and the sense of the message that came out of it was stop bullying. Have you heard that message? That goes around a fair bit, right? And it's a good message. Don't bully others. And if you're bullied, get help. So we have a great person, Taylor Swift, with a message. Stop bullying. And this goes out. Now, that's a modern example, and it's nice that Taylor Swift tries to help out, and that she does give some good advice, no doubt. But that's just a very small example. We hold and we understand and we know that Jesus is much greater. He is the true God, and He is pictured here in Isaiah 6, verses 1 to 3. And that's why it's so nice in relation to this passage to see his greatness. When it says here in Isaiah 6, I saw the Lord, and where is he? Well, he's three seated on the throne in heaven. He is high above all things. And when it says the train of his robe, it's a picture of the beautiful royal robes, and they stretch down and down out of heaven, right down to earth, and right into the temple. So there's a connection. The actual clothing, the actual robes that Jesus is wearing actually stretch right down here. There's a connection. There's not a distance. We are known. We are in that presence of God. And then it adds the glory is above any glory we could imagine. It includes the angels, and they're described here with their wings and with their beautiful singing. They're calling out, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. And the whole earth is full of his glory. So we see in the springtime and in all kinds of things his glory around us. And that's just an earth-shaking event. That shakes us to the core, that Jesus is so great and glorious, so wondrous and amazing. That basic truth is described here in its greatness, and we continue to enter more fully into that as followers of Jesus, that Jesus continues to be the central figure in the history of the world, that Jesus continues to be the one longed for and hoped for as the promised Savior. And apart from just picking one or two people to help, he knows and helps all of us. He knows each of us individually, because as true God, he created us. He brought us to life. And he guides each of our lives. And so there's a sense of very personal interaction even as he comes to Isaiah. He comes actually to this person and speaks into this person's life. And that's the kind of God, that's the kind of Lord and Savior we have. He knows our hearts. He knows our sorrows and struggles. He knows when we get bullied. He knows our needs. And so we have that assurance that he speaks to us even through his word, even this Sunday again, words of truth and wisdom and grace. And that's the reality, so much greater, so much more marvelous. If you read Psalm 139, it speaks about how he made us, how he watches over us. You cannot go from his presence. You are always under his gracious care. This is the picture of the God we trust. Jesus is the greatest. And so that's the underlying part of the message we bring. We lift up the name of Jesus. I want to ask you, what is the central thing that we know about Jesus from Isaiah 6? The central thing that gets focused on here in Isaiah 6 is, as Isaiah sees this great God, as Isaiah is confronted by the reality of how great God is, he recognizes that he's a sinner. And so in verse 5, his response, I am ruined. Like, why would this great God enter into relationship with me? And he recognizes his weakness. And sometimes we have that too in terms of our bringing the message. If you go to someone and you say to them, you should believe in Jesus. And then they look back at you and they say about you, well, yeah, you're one to talk. Look what you did. And there's things in our life that are broken and not good. Sometimes it's something we've done too that was illegal or immoral, and then you think too, how can I speak the message? or our relationship with others or with our kids or in the community is not perfect. So as soon as you step out and you say to others, oh, you should believe in Jesus, then they look back at you and say, well, who are you to tell me that, to say that? And all of our weaknesses, our failures come forward. And that's really what Isaiah is confronted with. How can he, go forward and say anything? Because he's just a sinful person like us. All kinds of things. Anyone could cut us down because, we are ordinary sinful people. But the amazing thing is the angel comes and touches him, purifies him, and assures him that his sins are forgiven. Now, you just celebrated here. You still have the cross here and the beautiful white draping on it. And so this is our continued reminder that God has touched our lives, not just our lips, but our whole lives, with his forgiving grace. And so we would say to Lord, I'm a sinner. And as we bring the message to others and they would confront us again and say, well, who are you to talk? Well, yeah, I'm nothing, but I am forgiven. I am a forgiven one. I know the forgiveness of the Lord in my life, so I can humbly but gladly share with others that great truth. Jesus died for my sin, and in his resurrection, I am assured of his saving love. And so in our hearts, we have that assurance to begin with. Recognizing this forgiveness, recognizing it, applying to us, the message first changes us. And so you see in Isaiah 1 verse 6 too, that after he receives that forgiveness, your sins are atoned for, then he is ready. Then he says, here I am. Then he sees that it's not him, but it's God's work, Christ's work through him. And so now he is ready to declare the message. That is also the example from our reading in John 21, where Peter is confronted by Jesus. This account in John 21 harkens back to Peter's denial of the Lord. And as we read that, you have to recognize how Peter failed his Lord so miserably. How at the time when Jesus needed him the most, Jesus was being tried. He'd been arrested. He was all alone. He was in trouble. And at that moment when Jesus needed him the most, his friends and then left him. And then even worse, Peter, who was there, out and out denied him three times. People came to Peter and said, you know this man. And he said, no, I don't. And it would be like say, if you girls were walking somewhere and you were just walking and then another girl came up and started bullying you. And there was a couple of you together. And then she started bullying just one of you and then the others left. The others left. So you are all alone. And this person's going to hurt you and what is that? And then when Jesus comes here in John 21, he is with the disciples, and here is Peter, and he specifically talks to Peter, and what he should say is, you lousy guy, where were you when I needed you? Get out of here. But he doesn't say that. He comes to him, he acknowledges what Peter has done, but he forgives him not once, not twice, but three times. That's really the sense of the account is. It's not that he wanted to make Peter feel bad. Peter felt bad enough as it was, But he wanted to get through to Peter that he was forgiven. And Peter couldn't hear that until Jesus had said it to him three times. Because Peter knew, he knew absolutely that he was not worthy to bring the message. You could say to him, bring the message, but he would, he denied the Lord. So the picture is of Jesus speaking to him, Jesus speaking to us, recognizing our weakness as sinful people, but saying to us, do you love me? And our response, yes, deep down, though we are unworthy of it at all, we do. Because you are, Lord, our only hope. And then to hear the words, follow me, and then to respond, here I am, send me. And the reading ends with how Peter's death glorifies God. From this point on, Peter becomes the strongest voice in the church in Jerusalem. He goes forward from here, and he is the head of the church in Jerusalem, and he is a faithful witness to everyone in terms of who Jesus is, despite the fact that, yeah, everybody knows he's denied the Lord. But he has been forgiven. And when we know the forgiveness of the Lord, then our witness becomes stronger and pure and consistent with that one basic truth. Jesus is the one who does forgive us our sins and make us right with God. So that's what we are called to do. Jesus' love compels us to bring the message of that love to others. It's like Psalm 23, when that love touches us, it overflows. My cup overflows. And we tell others. So that's what we do as we go forward in prayer, praying for the lost, in words, as we speak to others, simply to share the hope that we have in deeds, in doing things in Jesus' name, that we are the messengers that God has called to do his work. So again this morning, I challenge you to take hold of that truth, and to go forward humbly and thankfully, and to be that messenger of Jesus like Isaiah was, like Peter was, like Jesus continues to call us to be. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the message of your saving love in Jesus that we can hear again and take to heart. We pray that you would help us be messengers of your forgiveness and love. We pray for those who don't know you, our neighbors and friends, those right here in Edmonton and surrounding area, that you would help us take opportunity to help them, to speak your love into their lives, to listen to them, and to be your saving presence, Lord. Help us to show your love in all we do and say, humbly and thankfully, in Jesus' name. Amen.